coming we usually don't do. We're going to do a pit crew change right here. That was some good singing. I'm telling you, I sit there and was thinking about how blessed I am to be the pastor here, because how much, I mean, let's say it this way. God had the ingredients, the singing, the words, all those things. And then He used you to put it together, make a pretty good cake. And then all of a sudden, I think we got it here. Me and Scott's been doing some MacGyver, so we got it, I think. Yes, we got it. Thanks, Scott. But then Melvin comes up here and just let the Lord put the icing on the cake. Man, that was good. I know I'm going to give y'all plenty of time to find Genesis 39. When Carolyn first sung, she sang a song that reminded me of a lady named Kathy Hyman. And I know this is your homecoming, and this is my first year being here as the pastor, but when I think about homecoming, I think about when I first started coming to church. And there was a lady named Kathy Hyman in our church, and she loved the Lord, and she could sing. And the one song she would always sing is "I'm Blessed." And it would just blow me away every time she sang it. And it was just like, and then, but she would sing other songs, and a lot of times the songs would be right on the money. I mean, whatever I was preaching or whatever was being preached. But there was one service in particular. God was calling me to preach, and I was trying to get out of it. This is before I answered my call to preach, and I was sitting back, I don't know, maybe we're about where Terry is in the church right now, and I was sitting there, and God was just all over me, and I knew I was supposed to preach, and I knew I was supposed to preach that night. Holy Spirit just sat down on me, and He's just going, "You preach, get up and preach," and I was like, "No," and I gave God some things, some fleece to put out there to make sure He's going to get me, to make sure it wasn't just me, because I didn't want to say, "Hey, this is me." I wanted to make sure it was God. And all of a sudden, the Spirit really got to moving. And all of a sudden, she wasn't planning on singing, but she said, "You know what? I've got to sing a song." And I said, "Man, I'm in trouble." She walked up here and got on that stage. She sung a song called "You've Been Called Out." Yeah. Not many years after that, she went on to be the Lord. She had it. Now, she was paralyzed at one time, had several bouts with cancer. But she went on a family trip down to Florida, and all of her boys and her family were all together with her, and she had battled through so much stuff. And she was sitting in a hotel room in Florida, and she had on Christmas, and she just looked at her family. She goes, "I'm so happy. This is the happiest I've been, had my whole family together." And she died just a few minutes later of an aneurysm that quickly. But she was happy. And she didn't struggle like she had most of her life. But I keep thinking about, I'm going to be in heaven with her one day. And Peyton, he's just a little thing. I don't know where he's at. I see him back there now. But I used to, when I first started preaching, my pastor was so, he was so open to letting me preach. He'd say, "Kevin, come up here and preach. Just go ahead and preach for me." And she had reached back there and grabbed Peyton and put him up right beside her. And I'm telling you, it was a blessing. But anyway, if you ain't at Genesis 39 by now, you need to repent. We're in a series, and this series it's called "Don't Tell It Too Soon." And it's about where you're at right now. Maybe you're struggling, and maybe you've gone through some things, and you're telling everybody, "Hey, man, God, I don't know where God's at. I don't know what He's doing. It's hurting. I'm hard towards the Lord, or the Lord's hard towards me. Life is just not what I thought it was going to be." Hey, I'm telling you, just hold on to it. This series is about holding on to it to the end. And we're talking about how Joseph is at the end of his trial with God, and he tells his brothers thought the whole time he was faking it and he was going to take retribution on them, and he said, "You know, what you meant for evil, God meant for good to save many people alive." But there was a place in this thing that I'm going to preach today, that Joseph, and maybe this will hit home today, because what I want us to preach today is, don't tell it too soon. It almost feels like you deserve it. Write that down if you want to. It's a pretty clever title. I liked it. It feels like you almost deserve it. When I say that, it almost feels like it's okay for you to sin, or it's okay for you to do something wrong because of all the circumstances in your life. And the devil will lie to you, because his family's already rejected him and sold him into slavery. And he's a slave in Egypt. And he walks in, and let's look at this verse. I want y'all to see it because it's so neat. Genesis 39, verse 4, and it says, "And Joseph found grace." My God. Unmerited favor. That's what we're saved by, if you didn't know. "And Joseph found grace in the sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand." Joseph was sold into slavery, and he's going down. But all of a sudden, life plateaus out a little bit. Amen? You ever been there? You ever been going down for a while, and you wonder where God's at, and you don't know what's going on? Your family's rejected you. Your job's messed up. Your house messed up. Everything's going wrong. Anybody been there? Am I preaching to the right crowd? And all of a sudden, a plateau hits. Some good stuff happens. Grace shows up. Amen? Grace shows up, and Potiphar chooses him. Potiphar's he's the chief man over the security and prison. I mean, he is a big wheel, amen? And God shows grace, and Potiphar goes, "Out of all these slaves, I choose this guy right here, Joseph." And Joseph's like, "Me? Yeah, you, grace." And hey, don't grace make you want to do that? Hey, grace makes you go, "Who, me? Hey, you're saved. Who, me? Hey, you're a child of the King. Who, me? Hey, you're born again. All your sins are forgiven and cast away as far as the east is from the west. Who, me? I mean, somebody like me? Hey, why'd you pick me? Hey, it's no happenstance. God's got grace for you." Amen? Joseph's like, okay. But then not only that, he puts him in charge of his whole home. He's living pretty good. Amen? He gets a new coat, a new jacket, a new covering. Remember, his old one was ripped off of him. His daddy gave it to him, coat of many colors, and oh man, he was proud of that. But his brother stripped it off of him, dipped it in blood, and act like he'd been killed. But God put a new coat on him, amen? And puts him in charge of everything. And he is doing good. I mean, he is walking around Potiphar's house, and he's making calls. He's like, "Do that, do this, do this, do that." And I mean, could you imagine all the pressures put on him? But every once in a while he goes, "Man, hey, God's blessed me. Even though I went through that tough spell with my family, even though I'm in a foreign country, I can kind of see God working again." Has anybody kind of getting a little wind in your sails? Finally, hey, God's working again. Hey, I've been there, amen. I've been going, I'm like looking, searching, trying to figure out where God's at, and all of a sudden, hey, the winds pick up. Holy Spirit, amen. Check this out in verse 6. "And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me." Whew. I'm sorry, it's homecoming, but we're going here. Amen? Joseph has went through all this family rejection. Amen? And he's finally got some level. He's finally got a breath of air. He's finally come up from feeling so depressed, so down, so sold into slavery, that he's in charge now. Have you ever, man, oh golly. Write this down. Somebody write this down. Somebody, you want of you radicals that take notes, write this down. Some of you have a hard time struggling. Amen? You say amen every once in a while. All right. It only means we're going to go 5 minutes longer. All right, I see it. All right? Some of you have a hard time when you're going through the valley, but some of you have a hard time when you're doing well. Anybody have a struggle when you're doing well? I mean, I'm a firefighter. I like trouble sometimes. I like to put out fires. I like to fight. I like to get in there and, all right, hold on. It's what you're going to do. Let's go. Let's get this done. All right, ready? Ready to go. 1, 2, 3, team. Let's do it. Amen? But when things are going great, I'm like, oh no, what are we going to do now? Amen. I'm learning on how to do when things are good. So let's guess what? Here's Joseph and things are great. He's got him a new coat, a new job, a new position, and God is just showing out in his life and he's doing well. I'm preaching to some of you in here. He don't know. He's like, man, this is great. Nothing's going to happen. This is where the devil can really wear you out. Paul says it best in the New Testament. He goes, I've learned how to be abased and I've learned how to abound. Paul says, I know how to go through when God's blessing my socks off. I've learned how to live that way, and I've learned when I'm being abased. When God, I can't see him, I can't feel him, I've learned how to live there too and everywhere in between. God, Christians, we got to learn how to live for God everywhere in between. When everything's going good and when everything's going bad and in the middle ground. Man, I wish I could really preach in here this morning. I'd tear your roof off. You know what I'm saying? He comes tooping through the house. God's good. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is good. I can't believe that I'm down here in Egypt. But life's pretty good. I just made that up. Finally, she's not crying. She cried all last week. But I'm going to check this out. She says, now listen, she don't hint around. Devil, don't do this. Have you ever ran into something that you wanted in your flesh and it wasn't hard? And I'll say it again. Have you ever run into something in your flesh? I'm talking about right in your wheelhouse. And when I say your wheelhouse, that's a softball or baseball term. That's where you like the ball pitched because you hit it hard. You want it inside. You want it about right there. And you hit it and knock it out. Amen. That's your wheelhouse. That's where you like stuff. Oh, I'll pray. See, the devil knows your wheelhouse. He knows how you like it. Amen. And he'll set you up. And you'll think you're the sly devil. You'll think you're the silver-tongued bandit. You'll think you're the smartest thing. Oh, man, did you see me do that talking? It ain't you, it's the devil. Potiphar's wife walked up and says, I want to sleep with you. Well, this day's going weird. Amen? And some of y'all are sitting here going, she must have been hideous. No, no. Devil don't work that way either. Amen? See, the devil's called, what is he called? The dragon and the serpent. And we got him, some people do this for how he'll dress up like a devil. He'll have a little red dragon, got the horns and a pitchfork. No. That stuff sold separately. Amen. Pitchfork, tail, and horns sold separately. That joker's everything you ever wanted. Amen. He is a deceiver. He is sly. He is slick. He could talk you into doing anything and make you feel like it's all right. Because you got to think about right now. He's standing in Potiphar's house and he's thinking, oh, well, Potiphar ain't here and I'm in charge of everything. I'm running everything. I'm really the ones in charge. I have everything else. I might as well have his wife. You know how we do? He ain't taking care of her. He's probably off somewhere doing whatever he's doing. He don't care. And look, I've been abandoned by my family. I deserve this. Write that down. Sometimes the devil will make you feel like you deserve to sin. He will put something in front of you and you will say to yourself, I know this is wrong, but I deserve this. I mean, I really do. This is something. Hey, it'll make me feel better because see, your flesh been hurt. Your heart's been hurt. Your feelings have been hurt. And you know what? This thing represents you feeling better. I'm telling you right now, I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. I'll just be honest with you. Hey, I'm serious right here. Sometimes the devil will lie to you and say, you need to feel better. So do something you know is wrong. I wish I had about two or three real people in here say, I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. You know it's wrong. You know you shouldn't do it, but I just want to feel better. I felt so bad for so long, I would just like to feel what feeling better feels like. Even if it's a lie. And they're looking at it going, I know it's a lie. I know it's going to hurt. I know it's going to be bad. I know it's not going to turn out good. But I'm so tired of feeling bad. That's what the devil wants you to do. Write this down. Never make a decision when you're too high or when you're too low. And man, I tell people that all the time. I say, are you upset? Are you angry? Yeah. I said, don't make a decision. Don't do a thing. Are you happy? Are you out of your mind excited about it? Yep. Don't make a decision. Let the bubble settle. Let it come back to the middle. Amen? Let that bubble come back to the middle and figure out where you're at then, and then make a decision. Too many times we make a decision when we're mad or when we're happy. Guess what? We'll make a decision we'll regret. I love this. He's standing right there, and it came to pass. And I just can't get over this because this shouldn't be happening. Potiphar's wife has not hinted. She has not suggested. She has told. Amen? But verse 8 gets good. Because right here, he's going to do something that we can't hardly do. He's going to trust God when he can't even trust himself. Write this down. Trust God when you can't even trust yourself. I want to speak to this too. Where is he? I'll tell you exactly where he's at. He's in a foreign country and nobody knows him. Write this down. He's in a foreign country and nobody knows him. What kind of Christian are you when nobody else is around? I'm going to ask you again. What kind of Christian are you when nobody knows who you are? When you can be anything you want to be, are you a Christian? Because right about right now, he's in Egypt. He looks to his left and looks to his right and he's like, you know what? Ain't nobody knows me down here. I can do just about whatever I want to do. Amen? Listen, I hate to tell you this. Young people, y'all better listen up. If you're a child of God, you better hear what I'm about to say. Somewhere in your life as a child of God, you are going to have this very opportunity. You're going to be put in a place where you can do whatever it is that you would like to do, but yet still, you're going to have to choose to be a child of God. Because I hate to tell you this, there's still people watching you. Oh, but guess what? It gets better than that. Y'all ready? I came to preach this morning, this verse right here, and this verse only, really. The rest of it's just extra and bonus. He refused, verse 8, and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in this house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither have I kept back anything from me but thee, but thou art his wife." Make a note. Let's just preach right here. I don't care. If she's somebody else's wife, leave her alone. If it's somebody else's husband, leave him alone. Is that clear enough? Amen? I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care what the thing is. Well, she did, he did, they did, this did. If it's somebody else, it don't belong to you. I almost hate man myself. Man, I don't know why I stopped right there for somebody, but I'm telling you, that right there is a big deal. Amen? He don't treat her right. It don't matter. That's not yours. She didn't do this. It don't matter. That's not your... Oh, all right. Move on, preacher. You're meddling. It came to pass. Now listen to this. There is none greater. He said, "Thou art his wife." Verse 9. Now the second part of verse 9. "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against Potiphar?" Golly. What is he saying? How can I do this great sin against God? That is one of the most awesome verses in the Bible. Some of you in here need to hear this and you need to understand it and apply it to your life. You need to make this your life verse. God is watching your life. It doesn't matter if nobody's watching. God still watching. God is still watching you. And if anybody else is not watching, that don't matter. God matters. I want to give you something I learned a long time ago when I first started ministering. If I can live right before God, I can live right before people. I'll say it again for all those in the back row. Hey, listen. Hey, if I can live right before God, I ain't got to worry about people. Amen? Because if I'm trying to please a living God, I don't got to worry about you, because guess what? I'm not going to steal from you. I'm not going to lie from you. I'm not going to cheat on you. I'm not going to do anything wrong, because I'm living before God. If I'm what? Hey, if I understand before I do something, before I go into that room, before I log on that computer, before I make that call, before I tell that lie, before I drink that drink, before I smoke that joint, before I get high, I got to understand that guess what? God's watching. And if God's watching, I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to do it, because I don't want Him to see me do it. Could you imagine if Jesus could come back and walk in a room with you when you're talking sometimes? Could you imagine when you're talking maybe to your spouse or to somebody out in town or somewhere, and all of a sudden God was, walk right up, Jesus, walk right up. How you doing? Why are you so quiet? What were you saying? You know I was here before that, right? Glory. Man, hey, I must have hit a nerve right there, because y'all are quieter than I can be. Amen. That's amazing. Some of y'all are sitting here going, I just came to homecoming. I want to hear a good singing. I want to get something to eat. And guess what? God's running through your heart right now, ain't He? He's tracking you down and knocking you down. Amen. He's knocking that heart to pieces right now. You better make this your life verse, friend. If you're a child of God, you've been born again. I don't care if you've been born again 15 minutes or 100 years. Let me tell you something. If God's watching your life. He stood there before and her said, you know what? I can't do this because I don't want to sin against God. That must have drove. You know what? That ended it all. Do you know that? Verse 10. Can I tell you something? I hate to tell y'all, because it would have been good if it ended it all. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass at the time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. I'm going to preach right here just for a minute if you don't mind. Watch this. So some of you, when I said this, and I don't feel bad, I'm not being, it was funny, I said, that ended all. Some of y'all said, I hate to tell you this, as a Christian, this is hard living. Guess what? You're not going to fight the devil today, get saved, get delivered, hallelujah, and tomorrow he's going to give up on you. I hate to tell you, that just ain't true. Guess what Potiphar's wife did? She amped it up. She turned it up a notch. She didn't, hey, one time she did it day by golly. Amen, preacher! Amen, that's good preaching! Some of you kids back here on the back road, you need to listen to what I'm saying right here. Some of you, you said no to the drugs once. You said no to the premarital sex once. You said no to the lying once. But guess what? Tomorrow, it's going to happen again. It's coming again. It's going to come after you day after day after day. And you know what you got to do every single day? You got to tell it every day. I am not going to do it, because I live for God. The answer was the same yesterday, and it will be the same answer tomorrow. Despite how I feel. Feelings are not faith. Feelings are not faith. I'm not rolling on my faith or my feelings. I'm going on my faith. Sometimes we get our feelings. I don't feel like God. I don't feel like God's doing this. I don't feel like, listen, forget about that. Say, I trust God. And it doesn't matter how I feel. He should have knew better, shouldn't he? He should have knew better. Some of y'all need to wake up and smell the roses right here. Joseph, he's whooping it. He's good. Hey, no. No thanks. No ma'am. Put your clothes back on. Thank you. No, I'm sorry. Not interested. Total lie. Hey, no, not today. Sorry. Too busy. Can't come back. No, God, please. Stop, okay? You all right? But the one, he should have knew. Some of you better wake up right here. He came in and there wasn't nobody in there. Where are all the dudes at? Where are all the witnesses at? Where are all the people who can vouch for me that I didn't mess up? Where's all? I mean, there's usually a guy washing the dishes. Usually a guy back there serving this. There's probably a lady running around cleaning it, doing it. Hey, where's everybody? Oh, there's Potiphar's wife. Chris, say amen every once in a while. Please help me. Please. Everybody up here, they just No, I don't know what you're talking about. Every day. And finally, the devil don't just say, oh, I give up. You're such a strong Christian. Oh, you're so spiritual. You're so spiritual. I'll just give up. I'm just going to quit. Man, you're too good for me. No, you know what he does? He amps it up. Not only are you in a foreign nation, not only that, he empties the whole house and it's just you and the thing that you like to do the most. Do you hear what I just said? Your sin, that thing that you keep doing, you can't help it because you keep lying to yourself saying you have to and you can't get no freedom from it. You need to read Romans chapter 6, by the way, on that. We're free from sin. I hate to tell you that. But that's where you keep going. Guess what? All of a sudden, you're standing alone with it. And you can't run from it. You can't run. And all of a sudden, golly, you can. But check this out. He should have done this earlier, but sometimes we get stupid, don't we? No, listen, some of us think we can handle some sin every once in a while. I'll handle a little bit of that. I can listen to that kind. I can watch that. I can hang out with them. I ain't going to do what they do. Keep lying to yourself. Amen? Somebody asked me one time, hey, man, why don't you come down to the sports bar? Some guys from the church, we're all going to get together, and we're going to watch some MMA down at the sports bar. Come on, man, come on. You come watch with us. We don't drink or nothing. Some of y'all looking at me like right now, I don't like you, preacher. It's okay. You'll come back to me. You'll love me again. Maybe. I said, man, I can't go. He said, why? I said, because back in my day, that'd be the place that I'd love to go. And the first time I'd go down there, and I don't really care much for MMA, but I'd go down there and watch the fight. And the second time I'd go, and I'd start people watching. I like looking at people. I like seeing people. I'm like, But the third time I went, I'd say, oh, that girl over there, she's pretty desperate. Did I say that out loud? I probably need to go over there and console her in a spiritual way. Amen? Amen? And next time I ain't going because of the MMA, I'm going in there, I've got to help her out because she needs somebody to talk to because she's really hurting. And look at me, I'm a pastor, I can help her out. I miss Buffalo Wild Wings. I just hang out there. Ain't no big deal. I'm eating some wings, chicken, and talking to my spiritual friend here. I said, no, I just ain't going to go. I'm going to run now. I'm going to escape now. Some of y'all said, wait a minute, preacher. None of that happened. And you played it all the way out that you're sitting up there talking to some girl down at the Buffalo Wild Wings. Yeah, you know what? That causes me not to fall for about the last 12 years of my spiritual walk because I play the video all the way out. I know how bad I can get. I know where I could go. So you know what I do? I just run the tape all the way forward, and I get the part where I do this, where Melissa says, you're a no-good sucker. I'm packing my stuff. Or you're packing your stuff, and you go live out without the kids and see you later. And I'm like, no, I just really can't handle that. I'm too real for some of y'all. I hate to tell you this. I love my wife so much. If she starts packing her stuff, I'm going to say, pack mine too. Man. My wife's at stake. My kids are at stake. My family's at stake. My spiritual walk, my testimony's at stake. And I play it out every time. And I say, is it worth it? And every time I come back to this, it is not worth it. Because I'm living before God. He's watching it all. I love this stuff. We're about done. And it came to pass. No, let's go back up to verse 12. Sorry. And she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us and to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. Wait a minute. Do you see how this works? What if he had laid with her? Guess what? Now she's in control. She already sold herself to be a liar, right? Sin's a liar. What does it tell you? We're going to set you free. You're going to have the time of your life. Literally, it puts you in bondage and tells you you're going to have the worst. You're going to be in a slave to me. Because after that, he has to do everything she says to do. Amen? He done one of the most spiritually big things you can ever do. Mark, you better write this down. This is awesome. It's awesome preaching. Watch this. You know what he did? There's trouble here. Now listen, it's a woman. Amen? It's a woman. a little old girl, right? He said, I'm going to show you how strong I am in the Spirit. He took off running. Listen to me back here in the back. Sometime you need to do this. You need to look around and say, this situation's getting bad. I'm going to do one of the spiritual big things. He turned and ran away. And she just happened to grab the back of his jersey. Did I say jersey? I still got football in my mind. That's right. Grabbed him, and he ran out of his outfit, ran out of his thing. Guess this is the second time God has taken what other people wanted to put on him. But see, God said, I've got something. I got something. I got something better for you. But I've got to take the thing off that you got on now. And it's going to feel painful because you can find your identity sometimes in what job you do or what calling you got. And God says, give me that. And you're like, no, God, I want to keep it. And He said, take it off because I've got something better for you. You just can't see it yet. Some of y'all are trying to hold on to your old identity, and that's never who God wanted you to be. He wanted you to be something great and greater. You just got to go down and down and down. See, at the very bottom, you'll find that God is the foundation and the cornerstone of everything you are. Amen. He's just got to get you way down and strip you of all that you want to be, where He can make you into who He wants you to be. He runs out of there. He ain't got his shirt on. And the sin lies on him. He tried to rape me. Now listen, I'd rather die and done the right thing than live and done the wrong thing. Because I can guarantee you what he's thinking. Y'all need to really study on this sin. Guess who's in charge of the prison? Potiphar. He's in charge of the whole prison. He's in charge of all the guards. He's in charge of everything. And he comes home and his wife says, look here, your man that you brought in here tried to rape me. And you know what he does to Joseph? He cast him into prison and put him in charge of all the prisoners. Whoa, 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 whoa. Did I say that? Some of y'all are like me. I'm like, wait a minute. If I come home, my wife said, hey, this dude tried to rape me, and here's his coat. And then he's got all of her witnesses. I've been like, good. We're going to have a head chopping contest. Amen? I go get the biggest, strongest dude in the garrison. I say, can you swing an axe good? Yeah, good. Dull it up nice. Come on, man. Because we're going to take my friend Joseph, and we're going to kill him. That makes me think that Potiphar, in his heart of heart, knows something. I know my wife. This might be, hey, you remember when I said there's always people watching you? I bet Potiphar was going, there ain't a man in my house that's ever done this. No. Remember when she told all the men to get out? All you men, get out of here. You know why they had to? Yeah, you'll figure it out. Mama, tell them when we get home. Daddy. And that one Joseph, I will not. And he ran out of there. And Potiphar goes, I can't just let him go. I want to. Amen? I put him in a prison, but I'm going to put him on over all the prisoners. I ain't going to kill him. Man, ain't that crazy? God saves his life again, gives him grace again. And the next message we'll preach on this is, wait a minute. Let's all stand. Let me ask you a question. Are you living your life as if God is watching? If you're not, you need to come and pray and get closer to the Lord. And let me ask you another question. Even if God is watching, are you saved? And if you're not, it doesn't matter if He's watching because you're not His. As they come, get a song of invitation. Somebody play a song.